Hello, it's Father Eli here at St. Joe's and Our Lady of Fatima. Today is May 6th. Happens to be my brother's birthday, so happy birthday, Caleb. And I am going to talk a little bit about vocations today. So it's another topic that could go on and on, but first maybe just talk about what are vocations. Vocations are the way that God calls us to be holy. So each of us has a primary vocation. There is the priesthood, of course, the religious life. Religious life is both men and women can be called to religious life. Some religious men are priests, some are just brothers. Kind of depends on the order, how that works. Women who are in religious life are often sisters. That's a lot of times what we call them. And then there's the vocation to the consecrated life, which is not necessarily the religious life. I mean, we say that we're consecrated to God, yes, but consecrated life in this sense is a lay person who consecrates themselves to God, takes a vow of some kind to the bishop, the local bishop, and a lot of times they work for the church or in some capacity for the church, whether it's in a parish or the broader diocese or just more in a greater sense. And of course, there's marriage, which is probably the most common vocation. So we're called to be married. Then there's a couple other ones that maybe are an asterisk by their name. I don't know. The single life can be a vocation, right? But it's something that we naturally are living already, so if we feel called to it versus we just live it, I don't know if you have to really discern it in a certain sense, but you might be discerning, like, I'm not called to the other things, or it's never been presented to me that I'm going to get married or to be a priest, or I've never wanted to be a religious or whatever. So the single life, I would say, can be a vocation, but it's one that we have to kind of discover and really live out with a purpose, just like any of the other vocations. To be a bachelor or a bachelorette is not a vocation, if that makes sense. So there's that fine distinction. You might think of deacons as having a vocation. They are, of course, married, so that's their first vocation, their primary vocation, but then they serve the church as ordained ministers. So that is a vocation that they discern along with their wife. If you want to make a joke with one of our deacon wives, Dolores or Julie, you can call them the deaconess. They may or may not like that. I think most deacon wives don't like that, but it's kind of funny to call them the deaconess. There's a passage in Scripture that refers to the deaconess. I forget if her name is Chloe or something, but so back in the day, there were deaconesses, and that was basically a title for someone who was married to a deacon, or a woman who helped with baptism, because back in the day, baptisms were done in the nude. So it was impropriety. For propriety's sake, men didn't do the baptism face-to-face. They would do it behind a screen. So like the woman would kind of assist, the deaconess would assist those who are getting baptized. And I'm not sure how long that happened. It was early in the church. And of course, at that time, many adults were getting baptized. So that was part of the whole deal of having a deaconess. So they were not ordained. They were not given holy orders or anything, but they were called a deaconess because they would assist. They were serving in that capacity. So those are some vocations. Another, you might put this in the two-starred list, someone who's divorced or widowed or widower. That's not a vocation in the sense that God calls us to that in that sense, but in a sense he does, right? If we have to get divorced because of circumstances, we are called to that. That's our call. Can you get an annulment? Sometimes, but not always. So sometimes you have to live out divorce, and that's a challenge. But just like any other vocation, there are challenges that come that we can't foresee. Now, the difference is that we discern and we kind of, in a sense, have some choice in a vocation, whereas divorced, you don't necessarily always have a choice. Sometimes you have to seek divorce because there's violence or there's just unhealthiness in the marriage. Sometimes you didn't intend to get divorced, but the other one did, and so you can't avoid it. You can't stop them. So there's that side of it. Widower and widows, you know, obviously they don't intend that their spouse should die, but they do sometimes. So in that sense, we are called, if we're living in that situation, to do the best we can to live in union with God through that particular state in life. So there are lots of vocations, and then there are some that are kind of like special cases, I would say. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about discernment. I think most people, for discerning a vocation, we think of discerning religious life, we think of discerning priesthood, we think of discerning consecrated life. That makes sense. But marriage is also a discernment, right? So to be discerned, to be married, takes discernment. Most people, having grown up in a family, with a mother and a father, not always, but most of the time, or at least having that experience of in society, seeing mothers and fathers, that's part of our discernment, is this understanding what it means to be married. So most of us, because we grow up in a family, that vocation presents itself pretty clearly to us. So that seems like an option. It seems natural. It's a natural vocation, we would say, whereas a priesthood, a religious life, even consecrated life, is a supernatural call. It's a call that comes, not that it's better or that we become holier by those calls, but it's a call that kind of goes beyond nature. So naturally, we should all desire to get married. We should all desire to have a family. Now, if we don't desire that to more or less degrees, okay, that it is what it is. Not everybody's going to desire it in the same way or the same level. When I was discerning my vocation, I wanted to have a family. I wanted to be married. There were lots of things that I looked forward to about being married and having a wife. I mean, that was an attractive thing. And on some level, it still is, right? It's always going to have some appeal. So marriage is a natural vocation. We're naturally called to it. It should be something that appeals to us. But sometimes God gives us a call or gives us the option to seek a different call. A religious life or priesthood. And that's not saying that the other vocations are worse or not as good. It's just sometimes God gives that call to certain people. The scriptures talk about how, Jesus says, for those who can, or St. Paul talks about, for those who can receive it, they should receive it. It is a call. And we should also remember that even if we're called and we discern a vocation well, that doesn't mean it's always going to look perfect. There are priests who have left the priesthood. There are married people who have divorced. There are consecrated people who have left their vows. There are religious brothers and sisters and priests who have left their monasteries or left their order or left. It happens, right? Just because we're called to something and we are enter into it doesn't mean that we're going to always be living it out perfectly. Now, I would say if we're called to something, and especially if it's religious life or priesthood, that's on us, right? We're responsible to live that out. We might make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes are such that we can't live our vows publicly, like priests who have done some kind of public sin that is bad, or done some kind of child abuse or something like that. Yeah, they are not allowed to serve publicly, but they are still called to that vocation, so they still have to live that out. Sometimes priests are laicized, meaning they are dispensed from their vows. That happens for various reasons, but again, I think we can say that if you're dispensed from your vows when you didn't choose it, okay, that's one thing. If it's something like you chose, like I'm a priest, but I fall in love with somebody and I leave the priesthood, I'm going to pay for that in heaven. There's going to be some some recompense for that, because all the souls that I didn't minister to, all the people that God put into my hands and I didn't do anything to help them or was never there for them because I had left the priesthood, I think we can say that there's going to be some recompense for that. What that will be is hard to know. So likewise, if we are living our marriage and we, by our own fault, make that marriage fall apart or don't contribute to it, there's going to be recompense for that, right? All the children that maybe didn't come into being, or the children that we had, but their lives were affected because we didn't live our vows of marriage well. Now, of course, there's always mercy, right? There's always the mercy of God. Even the worst sinner, the worst priest who has done the worst things, like a Cardinal McCarrick sort of figure, even there, there's mercy, right? God's mercy is there for them. But they're still going to pay for it in this life. They still should be prosecuted if need be and held accountable. That's something that they need to do. It's better for them to do it here in this life than in the next, right? So there's always mercy, but there is justice. So discernment is something that we grow into, I think, naturally for marriage. For the other vocations, it's something that we have to, because we didn't grow up in a monastery, we didn't grow up in a seminary, we didn't grow up in the rectory. Please God that no children had to grow up in a rectory. Because of that, it's a foreign life, right? It's something we can't really know about. And so anytime somebody decides to discern those vocations of religious life or priesthood, it's kind of going outside the box. You're going to a place where you haven't experienced. That's why they do come and see weekends for religious life or the seminary, so that you can kind of get a sense, what is it like? Because we don't know what it's like. And in a certain sense, even if you go to religious life or go to the seminary, that's going to look a lot different than the actual life. So once you've joined an order, they can send you off somewhere and it's not going to maybe be like it was when you were being formed. Likewise, when you're in the seminary, you're with guys all the time. It's great. You have great discussions. Your friends are always around. When you're joining the priesthood, at least the religious or the diocesan priesthood, most places you go, you're going to be by yourself after a few years. Religious priesthood is maybe a little different, so that's different. But again, the formation process is there to form us, to get us ready, but it's not always the same as the lived life. So sometimes it takes us a while to discern something, and it takes a while to think through that and process that. So most people, when they are getting married, they might date for some years, then they get engaged, and then they get married, and the church offers a marriage prep of some kind in the parish where they are registered or where they're getting prepared. And that might be like a 6-month process, it might be a year process, but it's really not that long, all that long really, when you think about it. Sometimes people get married within, like they meet each other, they get engaged, and they get married pretty quickly. Now, sometimes that's okay because they've been formed through living out family life in their family. So they know what they're getting into. They have a sense of it. Depending on how open they are with one another, that can work, right? My own grandparents on my mom's side, I don't know how long they were engaged for, but they dated just for a few months or maybe not even before they got married. Sometimes life circumstances are such that you have to make a quick decision. Now, I think it's better if you take longer, right? It's better if you have more time to get to know the person. And it's not always easy to get to know a person. So discernment is when the two people are, when it comes to marriage, discernment is we're discerning marriage, we're looking at marriage, we're asking God, is this what we're called to? Are we called to be with this person? Now, sometimes people say, I didn't discern marriage, I just got married. That can happen, right? But once you're married, you're called to it. Like, God will give you the grace. Now, it doesn't mean it's always going to work out perfectly or that it's always going to be easy. Most marriages have difficult days and good days. You know, there's difficult times and bad times. There's challenges that come your way, and you're just not going to know what those are before you get married. So you can't go into marriage thinking, we're never going to have problems. Likewise, in any other vocation, priesthood, religious life, it's not always going to be happy, clappy every day. One of my classmates left the priesthood. I don't know if he's being laicized or not, but he recently left the priesthood like in the last 6 months or something. And one of the things that he said to me was that he just wasn't happy. And I was thinking to myself, okay, well, you're not always going to be happy, you know. He said, I was doing my holy hour, I was praying my rosary, I was saying my mass, and I wasn't happy. Okay, well, welcome to the club. Sometimes it's not always easy. So I would have said that was a bad discernment. I tried to talk him out of it, but I think he went forward with it. I haven't talked to him recently, but, you know, he's still a friend. He's still a guy that I would stay in touch with, but it's a sad thing to me that he has decided to leave the priesthood. And this happens, right? We have friends who are married. We have friends who are, maybe you have friends who are priests, I don't know. Friends who are in the religious life, I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to get to know religious because they're so community-oriented that they don't have time to spend one-on-one or in smaller groups. So, but anyway, we know people who struggle to live their vocation. It's not easy, right? It's we can't expect that everything is going to be perfect and easy. But we do the best we can to prepare. We do the best we can to discern. Again, discernment is inviting God to help you see what you're meant to do. And just because you discern well doesn't mean it's going to be easy, that your vocation, whatever it is going to be easy. It means God will give you the grace to overcome the challenges that come your way. So vocations are a beautiful thing because they're the way in which God sanctifies us. And sometimes our sanctification happens through the cross, and some of us experience more crosses than others. In God's wisdom and providence, each one of us has a different life. And sometimes we can compare our lives to others and want something different, or we can expect, gosh, when are things going to get easier or better for me? I think whatever we're facing, as long as we're living our faith as best we can and being faithful to it, our vocation is being lived out, and that's a beautiful thing. And we shouldn't compare our lives to another person, because we all have our own path to holiness. We all have our own path to sanctification. At times we're going to make mistakes. Mercy. We need to have mercy on one another. We need to have mercy, especially spouses. We need to have mercy for people who have experienced difficulty or heartbreak in their vocations. So people who have left the religious life or priesthood or have been divorced, we gotta have mercy on those people. It's not an easy thing. Sometimes it wasn't their choice. Sometimes circumstances were out of their hands. But we need to be kind and merciful, and recognize, okay, there are consequences to choices and decisions and failings and moral struggles and so forth. But God's mercy is always there for us. So discernment is important because it really helps us to know what we're called to or what we're called to live. And at a certain point, you can prepare, and then at a certain point, you have to say, okay, I think this is my call, and we have to make a choice, a decision. Sometimes people fall into marriage or they fall into the priesthood. There are sometimes people who, you know, they go to the seminary and they never really address the question of, am I called to this? It's just, I had a friend who went, so I went. I did all the classwork, okay. But they never really, in their heart, they never discerned the question. So discernment is, the church gives us the process of how to discern, but we have to give ourselves to that process and really enter into it. And so discerning a vocation takes time. And I would say, especially for religious life and priesthood, the church gives us more time because it's a vocation that we haven't experienced, right? So that's why, you know, for me it was 6 years from when I joined seminary to when I became a priest. For many religious, it's you enter, you have postulant, then you're a novitiate, then you take first vows, maybe final vows, so it can be like a long time, like maybe 10 years before you're fully professed. And that's okay, because it's a different life. You're taking steps along the way and saying, yes, I'm going to keep moving forward, or no, I'm not going to move forward. I'm not going to take the next step. And that's part of the discernment process, and that's okay. Likewise for marriage, it's just a little simpler. I get to know someone, we're dating, we're courting, hopefully, approaching it from that mindset. Is this a person I, you know, it's, side note, it's a terrible idea just to date somebody just for the sake of dating them. If you're dating somebody, there should be like a hope and a desire to get married to them. So sometimes people have this thing where, I mean, I guess it's easy for me to say because I'm not living in the world, but sometimes I think people just want to have a significant other, but they don't really discern it. They just say, oh, I've always had a boyfriend, or I've always had a girlfriend. So one leaves and another, I just jump into the next one right away. That's not a very good way to approach it. Discernment is this person, am I called to live with this person someday? And that's another side note. Living with someone before you get married, terrible idea. Don't do it. as much as you've probably seen other people do it and whatever, that's the kind of the culture we live in. It's a terrible way to discern marriage because it keeps us from really discerning the questions. It doesn't allow us to know ourselves. We get too close to someone too quickly, and there's plenty of time to explore the sexual side of it, if you want to call it that, the intimacy of marriage once you're married. But before you're married, you're really discerning, am I called to this? And oftentimes when couples live with one another, they kind of feel like they're trying it out without making the commitment, and it's a backward way of doing it. So these are some common struggles with discernment, and you know, we shouldn't be fearful of the discernment process. The discernment process is there to help us. And to prepare for a vocation is very important. At a certain point, when we've committed to saying, yes, I'm going to live this vocation, then there's the preparation kind of goes into high gear. So when I was in seminary, I was kind of waiting to kind of say, okay, am I called to this? And at a certain point, we got to the point where it's like, yes, I think I'm called to this. Now, is the church agreeing with my decision? If the church doesn't agree, then okay, I'm not called to it. If it does, then yes, I'm moving forward. So there was a certain point in seminary after my third year where I kind of decided, yes, I think I'm called to this. As long as the church says yes, I will keep moving forward. When you're in a courting relationship and you decide, yes, we're going to take this step, you know, hopefully the guy proposes in a way that's respectful and talks to the parents beforehand and things like that. And if he proposes and she says yes, beautiful, great. You know, we're taking this step. Hopefully they've had some discussion beforehand about like, how serious are we? Are we ready to take some kind of step in the near future, whatever? I mean, sometimes it's a total surprise, but hopefully it's something that each of the parties has had a chance to walk through and think through in their own minds. So these are some thoughts on vocation. All vocations are beautiful. It's a call from God to help us become holy. Not all vocations are, you know, experienced the same way by everybody. Not every priest, all priests are different. We're all individuals. Every marriage is different. Every couple is different. So just because we live a common vocation doesn't mean that our experience of it is going to be the same, or that our ups and downs are going to be the same, or that it's going to be easy for everyone or hard for everyone. You know, we're all different. But the church gives us the tools of discernment, and part of those tools are just living our faith day to day. So having a prayer life, going to Mass regularly, knowing the saints, knowing Our Lady, having a relationship with our Lord, you know, that's all part of the discernment process. If we're doing those things, our discernment is going to be better. If we are apart from the church, not living in union with the church, first of all, we're probably not going to be doing religious life or priesthood or anything like that, or consecrated life. But if we're discerning marriage apart from the church, it's going to affect our relationship. It's going to affect the kind of person we're looking for. It's going to affect the kind of person that we get married to, somebody that probably doesn't hold religion as important, or at least not in the same way that we do, or maybe we should anyway. So that's an important thing, because sometimes what happens is somebody goes away from the church, they stop living their faith, then they get married, and then at some point they desire to live in the church, but now they've got this other person that they're living with, and that person might not want to live a holy Catholic faith. And so now you've got a real trouble and a real challenge, and how do you live that out with your children? So it's a much better thing to discern with your spouse this call from God that you're working on together. So these are some thoughts, hopefully helpful, and I hope you all, those who are living your vocations and those who are discerning your vocations, I hope you are blessed in your discernment process and in your lived vocation. It's something that we all, each day, have to recommit ourselves to our vocation. And it's not always something that we think a lot about, but I encourage you to do that. All right, this has been a long one, so God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Take care.